All right. If everyone would please stand to join me in the responsive reading. I will read the light, and if you will read the bold, and at the end, the last line, we will all read together. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. For every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen. Please be seated. So the text today from Matthew sort of sums up a big chunk of what I wanted to talk about today. And we will break it down in a minute. But I wanted to let you know how I got there, because I find it kind of fun and inspiring, because it's a way God talks to me frequently. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Kurt was talking about fruits of the Spirit related to love and love in our lives. And I was thinking, well, that's a good segue. I will talk about fruits of the Spirit. Well, last weekend on Saturday, Pastor Kurt and I were talking again. And he said something, and we were talking about politics in the church, how the church relates to the community in America, the American church in particular, how Americans are not super popular the world over, and I was asking him why he thinks that is. And he made a point to me, or he made a statement to me, and that statement was, we need to remember, especially as pastors, but definitely as Christians, that we are all just beggars leading beggars. That's the kind of statement that goes into your head and can't find a way out. It rattles around and bounces around in there. That's a profound statement, beggars leading beggars. So I went home and looked it up. There is a theologian, D.T. Niles. He is a pastor and evangelist. He also did quite a bit of writing on Martin Luther specifically. But D.T. Niles was a pastor and evangelist in the area of Sri Lanka before it was called Sri Lanka. He was born in 1908 or 1909. So this was about 100 years ago, maybe 80 years ago, when he was being a pastor when he said it. And what he actually said was, as Christians, we need to remember that we are beggars leading beggars to bread, or to a place where bread can be found. He said it different ways. And I think that's especially apropos for our church, because on the other side of that wall, I don't know if you know, is a pile of bread. There is lots of it. Lots. Please take a look after the service. There was tons when I looked last. Our church has Food for Life every month, and we actually hand out food in addition to bread. Not that bread's not food. But after Pastor Kurt told me that, and I looked up where the quote came from, it occurred to me that there's more than just the fruits of the Spirit we need to talk about. We need to talk about communication. Because how we relate to each other and how we talk to each other changes how we think. It affects how you think. Pastor Kurt said one thing which hit my brain and sounded interesting, and I looked it up and I found another thing, and it led me to another thing, and it inspired a totally different sermon than I was originally writing, so I had to rewrite it in the last 5 or 6 days. So that's how this sermon started. I want to give you an example of why communication is important. When you think of the scriptures, when you think of the gospels, all of it is stories. In one form or another, we are being related stories in the gospels of people that knew Christ, that experienced Christ. We all do the exact same thing in our lives. Every single one of us has a family event we go to where we will hear the same story this year as we did last year. Thanksgiving's coming up. I promise you, you will hear that story from last year again this year. It happens in every family. It happens in every community. It happens in every church, every work site you go to. You're going to hear the same stories again and again. New ones get added now and then, but you hear the same ones again and again. Here is one from my family that I find especially funny. I was about 10 years old. My mom was a single mother in the military working to take care of two kids. As you can imagine, in the late 80s, early 90s, that was a challenging job. She came home one day, and my sister and I had been arguing a lot. We did a lot when we were very young. So we're in the hallway, and she sent Chelsea to her room for arguing with me, but she held me back because she wanted to talk to me about responsibility. She's working really hard. She has so much work to do, and she's going to school. And I'm the older one, so it's my responsibility to set a good example, to be the better sibling, to not let those arguments degenerate and get worse. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if she was tired from work, stressed out from listening to her two kids argue for the 10th year in a row. She either wanted to say, it's not funny anymore, or I'm not kidding. So she said, I'm not funny anymore. Now, I tell you that story because I tell that story at family events of mine because it's funny. She and I stared at each other for 5-6 seconds, and then we both started laughing. These stories are there for a reason. They're there to teach us morals. They're there to give us an opportunity to relate to each other in love, experience, suffering, frustration, laughter. It's why we do things together. It's why we need to know how to communicate effectively. Because if you have something you want to say, you need to be able to say it. If you have a thing you want to do, you need to be able to do it. And it has to be meaningful. It has to be useful. It has to be edifying to all the people involved. With that, I would like to do a reading of what we just read together to open the lesson. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of evil treasure brings forth evil. On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Father, I pray that through these verses in Matthew, that we would know exactly what we're doing when we speak to each other, and that we would learn to communicate to each other as effectively as possible and in a way that truly edifies the Holy Spirit in our lives, brings light to the salvation of Christ in everyone's lives that's available, but that they so often ignore. So, starting with the first verse, and I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin, it says 34b. The first half of 34 talks about vipers. I don't think anyone here is a viper. Christ is talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are exactly what everyone knows them to be, legalistic, trying to trick Christ all the time, trying to get him to prove that he cannot possibly be of God. So 34, the second half of it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you think about the people that you know and the people you work with in all the different walks of your life, those of us that have a job, we know people at work around the water cooler or in our chats, in our office chats or in our emails that talk about specific things every time you see them. And one that's most common that I'm sure everyone can identify that they've heard, and what I mention it because it happens in the church a lot, is the NFL. everyone knows someone who knows everything about the National Football League or baseball. Someone knows someone that knows everything about baseball. The lineup and the year that they did really well, how long it's been since they won or lost a certain game, what players are being in the draft this year in football. We all know someone that has that passion in them. And I want to be clear in this, I'm not trying to call football or baseball or any other passion of anyone's good or bad. But out of the abundance of your heart, what's there overflows into what you say. We know those people love football. We know those people love baseball. So the question becomes, what are you holding in abundance in your heart, and what are you sharing? Just to name a couple potential good and worthy causes, there are people that are animal lovers out there that want to stop the mistreatment of animals. And sometimes they can be abrasive, and sometimes they can be diplomatic about how they bring it up. But no matter what you do, where you go, what situation you're in, they want to talk about animals that are suffering. There are other people that, one that I wrote down that might be a little more pop culture for you is vegans and gluten-free diet people. Did you just laugh? Okay. I don't know if you've dealt with vegan or gluten-free people. Some of them are doing it because they have to. Emily's grandmother has celiac, and she can't have gluten or she will die. My sister can't have gluten because she says so. It's the life she's chosen to live, and that's fine, and she's passionate about it. But that's what's abundant in their heart. And I think you clearly know where this is going. The abundance in our heart should be Christ. It should be scriptures and the gospel. It should be something that no matter where we go, it is clear that what's abundant in our hearts is gospel and scripture. I'm driving you guys crazy back there in the sound booth, aren't I? I'm trying to hold the mic still. I really am. Okay. Wherever we go, the abundance in our hearts should be clear and evident by how we talk to people, what we want to talk to them about. And it's fine if there are other things you always talk about. Some things I always talk about. Harry Chapin, my favorite musician of all time. He wrote the song Cats in the Cradle, which is one you've probably heard, and I promise you, you've never heard of any of the rest of his music. I love Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola. And I was not happy when they changed their formula from the original, and I was happy when they changed it back. And if you want to talk about Coca-Cola or soda history, I can talk to you about it. The next verse, verse 35, the good person out of a good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of an evil treasure brings forth evil. Coca-Cola is neither good nor bad. The Football League is neither good nor bad in and of itself. I would say that if you're focused on the violence in the Football League, maybe it's not the greatest thing for you to be talking about or to be involved in. If you're obsessed with the violence of football, maybe that's something you need to take to God. If I'm so obsessed with Harry Chapin's music that I'm not reading scripture and I'm instead spending all my time in his poetry, that would be making it an idol. I was getting there. The abundance in our heart shows where... I'm getting there, Bethany. Stay with me. The abundance in our heart should be clear, and we need to be able to understand it, because that abundance can become idol worship. There's one word in verse 35 that's especially important, and it's the word treasure. Good person out of good treasure brings forth good. The word for treasure here is thesaurus, and it means treasury or storehouse. When you say treasure, many people think of it as either pirate treasure, which is physical, literal treasure, or they think of things that we treasure. I treasure the holiday season. I treasure my family. I treasure my private time. That's not what this word means. It means a storehouse, a treasury like you'd find in a bank, a place where you take things of value for the purpose of protecting and storing them, collecting them, allowing them to appreciate and become more valuable to you. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Coca-Cola and football does not need to become more valuable in my life. Scripture and gospel should be, Scripture and the gospel should be the things that we are trying to make dear and valuable treasures to us. One of the ways we learn how to do that and learn how to use those treasures to make scriptures and gospel not just be a book that happens to be in our treasury, but be experiences and values and stories that we can communicate is by living scriptures and gospels in our lives, notably through the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. A couple verses before this passage, in verse 33 in Matthew 12, Christ is talking about trees bearing fruit that prove whether they're good or evil. Good trees bear good fruit. Evil trees bear evil fruit. A tree will be known by its fruit. A tree being known by its fruit is a very direct reference to fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. That's what I was originally wanting to teach on, was fruit of the Spirit. What Christ is doing by telling us, by alluding to the fruit of the Spirit before telling us about the treasury, about our storehouse of treasured possessions, he wants us to understand that what has the most value is the fruit of the Spirit, because it shows everything else that you treasure, all the other treasures in your life. That is how you are able to communicate what is important to you. A good analogy might be, and I don't know if anyone follows stocks or anything, but anyone here read a newspaper? I know they're hard to find these days. Everyone in here has read a newspaper in school or for fun. And have you looked at the financial section of the newspaper? And you see charts showing how everything's going up and down, and you see lists and lists of stocks after stocks after stocks, and how much they plus or minus, how much they're going up or down. That is the fruit of the Spirit report card for the economy. People see in us, they hear from us out of the abundance of our heart, what we have, what we treasure, what we have in that treasured, protected, important storehouse. And the fruit of the Spirit is what allows us to communicate that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that allow us to be able to communicate to the world what we have in our treasury, what we have stockpiled in the abundance of our heart. The next two verses, 36 and 37. On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Christ was a big fan of every now and then making a very specific point that can't really be misinterpreted. You will have to give account for every careless word you speak. I've said some careless things in my life. I've lied. I've been dishonest with people without having to lie. I've said things that hurt people's feelings that I didn't mean that way. I was just talking, and they either misunderstood or I misrepresented what I was trying to say, and I hurt someone. And I'm sure I've done that, and people have not even told me. So I have no idea that I hurt them. We have to make an account, a judgment, for each of those careless things we say. That may sound like a very scary proposition, and it is, and it should be. The things that you say have importance. You can't take words back. Once you've spoken something, it is gone. It's not yours anymore. It belongs to the people that heard it. That's a painful reality to come to, one I've had to learn a few times in my life, and I'm sure I will learn a few times again. But that's a hard burden to bear, knowing that we're going to have to make an account for that at Judgment Day, that I made a mistake, that I don't even know upset someone, and I'm going to have to account for that. But there's a reason Christ says it this way. He wants us to have that discomfort. Throughout the Bible, it talks about fear of God, that we need to be, understandably, afraid of God's wrath. He can sentence us to hell. We may not get into heaven if we don't make it at Judgment Day. That's a different lesson. But fear of God is not this abstract, oh, you need to be careful because God can discipline you. God has all the power and we have none of it. We will be making an account. We will be making a reason or excuse for the careless things we say at judgment. What do you do to respond to that? What you should be doing is cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Because out of a good tree comes good fruit. And out of an evil tree comes evil fruit. If you are pruning, growing your tree, taking care of it, watering, feeding, fertilizing it, making sure it's getting enough sun, making sure it's not flooding, making sure that you're following all the directions in Scripture, that you're bathing yourself in the Word, that you're spending time in prayer and meditation over the Word and with Christ, you will grow a good tree. And you won't have a random sick branch fall off and squish someone. You're not going to have fruit that comes out like a peach. I don't know if you've ever cut open a peach and it's more stone than meat. That's a rough day. I saw a picture of an avocado yesterday on Facebook that someone opened up, and it was all pit and maybe like a centimeter of avocado around the pit. That's not great fruit. But if you take care of your tree well, if you take care of yourself well, your relationship with Christ and God well, you will produce good fruit even when you're not paying attention. Even when you're doing something and your head's not all in the game because you're driving to the hospital because your mom's sick and the doctors can't tell her exactly what's going on. Because you've got family that feels suicidal or has experienced a death. And you're not thinking about what you said to the cashier at Fry's. What you said to the bus driver as you got off. You will automatically drop good fruit as you go along, and you won't have to worry about making some special excuse or account for the careless things you said because they're good things. That's what Christ wants to drive us to. Now, as you can imagine, from a God that spoke through prophets to people, to the Israelites, the Jewish people, there is a lot in Scripture about communication. I'm going to read a few of them real quick, and some of them will be very obviously things related to the fruits of the Spirit. One is actually one that Pastor Kurt said a couple weeks ago in talking about love. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's 1 Corinthians 13:1. Psalm 37:30 says, the mouth of righteousness utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. when you have that strong tree that bears good fruit and you have a righteous relationship with God, the words you speak will be wise. They will be blessed by the Holy Spirit. You will speak the things you need to speak. You will remember the things you need to remember. You will know who needs prayer. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Philippians 4:8. One that Pastor Kurt reminds me of frequently. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It is hard to be a Christian. And we're told that it's going to be hard to be a Christian in Scripture repeatedly. And even if we weren't told, reading the stories will tell you that it's hard to be a Christian by living in the Holy Spirit, by bathing in the Word, by praying and meditating on Scripture and Gospel, by spending time in fellowship with other Christians at church, other events outside of church itself. We have a Bible study Wednesday night at 7. See you there. We have different events going on in the community. We have a potluck coming up. Invite someone. We have the packing event that some of us are going to be going to. Invite someone to come with. Take pictures, share them on your Facebook so that you can be that good, inspiring fruit to someone who's watching your Facebook feed and doesn't know it. After going over all this knowledge and all this different verses in Scripture, I want to go back to the story of my mom telling me she's not funny anymore. My mom was single at the time. Several years later, she married my dad, who was an alcoholic. He's sober now, has been for a little over 3 years. If you've ever dealt with an alcoholic or someone with an anger problem, when they make a mistake, sometimes they can take it out on you. When you deal with people that are just stressed, even if they're good people normally, that careless word, that careless thought can hurt and whip and scourge the people around them. My mom does not attend church anymore, but she was raised in the church. My grandmother, I can honestly say, I can't think of anyone I've known in my life, except maybe Pastor Kurt, that I could say unequivocally, they are after the Lord's own heart. My mom grew up knowing all this. She made sure to impart it to us as kids. She could have responded in anger when I laughed. She could have responded in anger, just being frustrated with herself and taking it out on her kids. You hear about that in the news all the time. Instead, we both laughed together. We shared the joy of learning that I'm too tired for this conversation. I should have saved it for tomorrow. We had a loving moment where we forgave each other in laughing and a hug. She forgave me for being difficult with my sister. I wasn't really in trouble. We were both being difficult with each other, my sister and I. But we had that loving, forgiving moment where we forgave each other for the difficulties we were causing each other. And we went our own way and knew the lesson. I knew the lesson that I was supposed to learn. She knew she needed a nap or a cup of coffee. But these stories, this type of communication, is what we are supposed to be drawing from fruits of the Spirit, from the lessons in Scripture and the Gospel. It's been 24 years since that day. I was 10, now I'm 34. And I still know that story, and I still remember it vividly. I remember it was right at the bottom of the stairs going into the hallway between the laundry room and the bathroom. I remember it because it sticks out. In the abundance of my heart are memories of silly, fun, dumb things that happened in my family that taught me how to be forgiving, how to be loving. We need to make sure in the abundance of our heart we have that same experience and that we apply the scriptures to it as well. So that through our own human experience, not our relationship between us and God, because some people aren't going to understand that because they don't know God. They know your mom is tired and said something silly. They know Emily's got a story you should ask her sometime about her being left somewhere and her parents just left and then had to come back and get her. And it's a scary story, but there's lessons learned. People can relate to that. And in understanding the love and forgiveness, they see Christ. And that opens the door to share the other treasure that you've been storing, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. And you can't tell Pastor Kurt because he's going to think it's horrible. But I want everyone to take out their phone. And instead of closing today with a particular scripture or a sort of sticky question to make you wonder or accuse you in your own mind, does everyone have their phone out? Or if you don't have a phone, your address book or your phone book that you keep in your purse or wallet, I want you to get into your phone and go to your contacts list. Some people didn't turn off their volume this morning. And now go to your contacts list and gently scroll through the list. And I want to challenge everyone here, and I'm going to do this too. I want you to call someone every day on this list that you normally wouldn't have a reason to call. My mom lives in town, so does my dad. I call them with some regularity. So does my brother live in town. I call him with some regularity. I'm not talking your family in town. I'm not talking people that you would regularly see anyway. I want you to look through that list and find people that you never have a reason to talk to. And try to remember what the last thing you said was. What was the abundance in your heart that they heard? I'm looking at my list and I've got Casey Hawley. He was my boss years ago when I worked at Bash's. The abundance on my heart that he heard was my fear for the economy. I promise you that, because I had to quit Bash's because they were going bankrupt. And I was afraid for my job, so I left and took another job. And I guarantee you the last thing he heard from me was fear over money. I don't want to leave that kind of impression. I want to leave an impression that makes him go, I remember Seth. He was a spiritual man. He loved God. And he was more concerned about my kid's medical problems, because his kid had medical problems, than he was about himself. That he was sacrificial in how he spoke to the people around him. That's what I want people to see in the abundance of my heart, because it's there, and if it's not showing, I've done something wrong. So I challenge you, call one of those people every day this week. And I'm not asking for reports. I'm not going to come find you and hold you to the fire. Have you called someone today? But the goal that we should have is that our natural fruit that we bear for those around us, the abundance of our heart that overflows into the things we say, the things we do, they should clearly be things that are of Christ. And even if the person you call is just to say, I haven't talked to you in 10 years, and our sermon challenged us to call some people, and I remember the last day we saw each other, we both made a mess in the office. Even if it's something simple like that. A fond memory, invite them to church if that's what you want to do. Something that lets them know that you are human and human with them, that you care and care about them, that you love them, that you're conscious of their struggles, And that under all that, supporting all of those feelings, is Christ, the foundation in your life that's driving you to communicate with the people around you better every day. I will close in prayer, and then we will close with worship. We are singing, "You Are My King." Father, I thank you for the time you've given us this morning to spend in your word. I pray that all of us would take the time to communicate with our less familiar friends and family, that they would come to know us better, and by knowing us, know you and the effect you've had on our lives and the love you've given us, the opportunity you've given us to feel the blessing, the mercy, the grace that comes with salvation. I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would take to heart the lesson of treasuring the important things. And that for those of us that have spent all our lives just learning what's valuable to us, that we would know there's always more room in our hearts for Jesus Christ. That no amount of nonsense, football stats, or musical poetry, or the classic flavor of Coca-Cola would ever be able to stand in the way of your love lighting our hearts up, making our hearts burst with a desire to share you and our experience of you with other people. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.